Parental advisory warning. Carlosophies, provoking thought and liberating people from their own bullshit since 2015. First time here? Hit subscribe. You'll want to stick around.
I've been thinking today about language and particularly around different, I guess, communities, right? So, like the spiritual community or like, I guess, the woo community and human design too, right? We have this really exclusive language which isn't really at all accessible, and it's really just a bunch of token words and slogans and terms that are not really that welcoming to the outsider. And I mean, it's the worst in spirituality, and well, actually it's the worst anywhere, but it's like, you know, it implies that I guess it's like more pronounced when, as being a member of the spiritual community, it's more pronounced here, because it's like, you know, terms, I'm seeing them thrown out all over the place. Wake up, you know, like zombies, the apocalypse, well, not really the apocalypse, but it's all about, you know, like I was asleep and now I'm awake and I'm woke AF. And poor you over there, you lowly human, unevolved, come to the light side. You know, like embrace whatever it is, the light, and it just denies the human in us, right? And I've just been thinking about some of the language like that, but also just like terms, right? Like even just me in the human design world talking about being a projector, like what the fuck does that even mean to you guys? Probably nothing. And you know, if I talk about having an open head, what does that mean? What does my defined spleen mean? What do the channels and the gates and the, you know, like what is my incarnation cross? Like all of this stuff is just jargon. And really, I feel like it's something that... Billy, come on! Come on! It's just something that separates, I guess, like the believers from the non-believers, maybe. Maybe that's the wrong language. But, you know, like it provides a barrier. And I've been thinking about this, like, you know, over the last however many years, the language in the spiritual community, in the woo community, has used terms like 5D, ascension, you know, shit like that. Light beings, all of that stuff. Come on, Billy, let's go. And it just, I don't know, like, what does it even mean? Are we just throwing terms like this out there because other people in this space are doing that? What does it mean? And what are you doing to help people understand what it means? Because, yeah, I just feel like it's not inclusive. I feel like it's very exclusive and not accessible. And so then no wonder people have their back up when it comes to, you know, like, human design. I feel like a lot of people feel like it's some kind of weird cult. You know, it's almost the same response I get to that as it is to, like, if I joined an MLM. Again, another place where there's exclusivity. And, whoa, the tide's quite high. And Yeah, and like a, it's like almost like a separate language. And if you're not in the, you know, if you're not in it, then you're out. And that's, you know, I was talking a few weeks ago about spiritual gaslighting. I feel like a lot of this stuff is a form of gaslighting, right? Like what we're saying to people is, you poor lowly human over there, come to the light side, where all of your financial, spiritual, you know, you will discover your purpose, you know, all this kind of jazz. And don't get me wrong, like I'm all about, you know, recently ran purpose and passion sessions based in like a side of human design. So I get that people are looking for meaning in life, and I get that they're looking for purpose. But I just feel like sometimes we're taking advantage of, like, because let's be honest, your purpose is already here. You're already living it. You're already living out your design. It might not be in the way you thought it would look, and you might long to have more of an impact, but at the end of the day, you're living it. It's your life, right? We don't get a second go. This is it. You're already living it out. There's nothing else you have to do. There's nothing else you have to be. There's nothing else you have to have. You're already living it. So, and you know, I spent 10 years, probably 10 years doing retreats and reading books and, you know, doing sessions with people to help me figure out what my purpose was. So I fucking get it. I fucking get that feeling of like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. I want to make some change. I want to reach my potential. I get all that stuff. And I guess I just want you to know that, like, yeah, it's actually, it's been a really fun journey for me. It hasn't been without pain and like doubt and all that shit. Sometimes I still question what my purpose is. But I just feel like what is, like, we need to be asking ourselves, what does that even mean? What does it mean to find your purpose? What's it going to feel like when you've found your purpose? How will you know you've found your purpose? You know? And it goes for any other carrot that someone's hanging on a fucking stick, or any other like token trendy words that people are throwing around. Like, we have to get really curious and figure out what it actually means to us, because sometimes we're searching for something that doesn't even fucking exist because we don't even know what it is, you know? And then we're getting, then like, and then the question becomes like, well, you know, like, I don't know. I guess then the marketing at us hits us because we are confused and we do question, oh, hang on, do I really know what I'm here for? Oh, hang on. Am I getting this wrong? Am I getting this whole spirituality thing wrong? Am I getting this, you know, like, no, we're never getting it wrong. We're just living our lives and learning day by day. There's nothing more. What if we could accept that, right? What if we could accept that this is it? This is it. This is life. Can we accept that? You know, for a long time, I couldn't. For a long time, I was like, no, there has to be something more. I have to make an impact. I have to whatever. And now I've just come to this place where I accept where I am. And it's actually fucking relief. It's a fucking relief not to have to slog my guts out for a dream that isn't really even mine. It's just something that I've been sold. When I have that, I'm going to feel enough. Well, fuck that. I am enough right now, regardless of what I do or what I don't do from here on in. So that's a reminder from COVID life, where I think we're going into week 9 of ISO. And I'm having my own conversations. This is another thing that I want to just remind you of. I'm going to turn around, I think. Hopefully it's not too windy. It is blowing a southerly today. So anyway, this is another, just like, I guess, a side note. And it's really about like autonomy and making decisions that are right for you and being in congruence with that and standing in your power. So, you know, I used to swallow the hand I was dealt. I guess not swallow the hand that I was dealt, but you know what I mean. I just used to deal with the hand that I was dealt. And I, for example, in a very superficial level, if a meal came out from a kitchen and I was at a restaurant and it came out and it wasn't what I expected, or it was cold or whatever, I would just resentfully eat that fucking thing. You know, I'd crack the shits. Miko was always like, oh my god, I hate having dinner with you because you never get what you want and then you're pissed about it, you know. And I would just like suck it up. And well, I wouldn't even suck it up, I was just a bitch, but I'd eat the fucking thing because I was too afraid to say, this isn't what I wanted, this isn't what I ordered, I'm not happy with this. I didn't want to look like a fucking asshole, you know, one of those people, and whatever those people are. And so, you know, so I'd just take the dish. Whenever I was served, I would take the dish, and I might not be happy with it, but I'd just deal with it, or not, be really miserable and resenting every mouthful, really fucking angry about it. And anyway, my whole journey has been like, the reason this show is called Carlos, if you show up, speak up, is because this is my journey, right? Like, I've been learning to show up and speak up. And that means sometimes speaking the truth when it's, or speaking my truth, not the truth, my truth, when it comes to things, you know, like coming from an empowered place rather than just being resentful that I got a shit meal. And so I'm just looking at the moon. It's fucking spectacular tonight. Oh my god, the clouds. Hang on, I'm just going to see if I can quickly take a pic, because I have to. Hang on. Let me just... Oh my god. So fucking magnificent. I'm getting there. Sorry, guys. Oh my god, it is so fucking beautiful down here. Okay, so where was I? Speaking up, showing up and speaking up. So, yeah, so with this whole COVID, we have in New South Wales, schools are going back and they're doing a staggered schooling thing, right? So one day a week your child goes back, and then it'll build up to 2 days, and then 3 days, and then 4 days, and eventually over the term ish depends on what happens between now and then, because I get the sense we'll get a second wave, so that's subject to change. But you know, they're staggering it with the long-term plan of getting them back 5 days a week, which is a really lovely idea. I'm not really sure, I think it's more just so they're getting, you know, parents are getting some reprieve, the children are getting some form of education, other than, like, so that it's relieving a bit of the pressure off parents. Anyway, we were given our plan, and Mabel was to go back 1 day, but it wouldn't necessarily be with her teacher, and it was only going to be with a couple of kids in her class that she's not particularly close to. I mean, she was only at school for 6 weeks before this all happened, you know, and she's been home longer than she was at school now. She's been home for like, we were going on like 8 or 9 weeks. Hey. And she was at school for 6. So, and part of the reason she was home so long was because they had, made it mandatory for parents to drop their children at the gate, and my kid just wasn't ready for that. She really feels like she's very confident and all that kind of jazz, when she feels safe. And she always would feel safe. I would come in, stay at the school, sharpen some pencils or something, and watch her go into class. It was just something that made her feel like she had this, you know? And so, and I'm happy to do that. But when it came to dropping her at the gate, she felt like, wasn't really, like it was actually really feeling quite anxious about it. And so that was a big factor in me deciding to keep her home. So for the extra 2 weeks than most people are heading into like week 6 or 7, and I'm heading into week 8 or 9, I can't really remember, but 2 weeks ahead of when the schools were closed in New South Wales, or when they basically went to essential workers only. So they're doing this staggered return, and I spoke to Mabel about it, and she had said that she wasn't comfortable, like she wants to go back to school, but only if she's going to have her teacher and be in her classroom with her friends. And I was so torn up about this, right? Because I didn't want to be one of those mothers. What the fuck does that even mean? Those people, those mothers, those, you know, like, what does that even mean? And I feel like that term stops us from expressing our truth a lot of the time, because we're like, I don't want to be like that person. Like, I didn't want to be, even when it comes to like, you know, having our dishes and served out and me getting something that I wasn't happy with, I didn't want to be that person who complains, as if that was like the worst thing I could do. So there's two aspects here. One is when you find yourself getting into that like dialogue, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that mother. I don't want to be, you know, like, I don't want to be that kind of person. Well, what kind of person? What are you shaming yourself for here? Why is it not okay for you to express your own needs? Why is it not okay for you to say, hold on, this isn't working for me, you know? So I churned myself up a little bit about it, and I felt sick because I also have to sit down and have a conversation with my husband about it, right? And he's more of the, well, she'll figure it out. Send her. You know, you need the time by yourself. You need to get back into like having some space, and this is going to give you the space, and she'll be fine. And so I've got to sit down and have the conversation about that and negotiate that, because we are 50-50 parents. I mean, we live together, we're married. But you know what? Like, there's not an imbalance in our parenting. We are 50-50. In that respect, we're 50-50 everything. So it's like, generally I have the final say on this stuff, but it requires us to have a conversation about it, and I wasn't really looking forward to that either. And I didn't want to, like, you know, I was like, oh, I don't want to be the kind of person who's like, I don't want to be that mother who's like, oh, this isn't going to work for me, you know. So anyway, I ended up, and this is what I do when I come to these kind of situations where I have to express my truth to someone else, is I really sit down and have a think about what that actually is. You know, what is it that I actually want here? What is it that I'm wanting here? What's the outcome that I want? What is it that I need to express? And what is it that they need to hear? You know, and so one of the gifts I think I probably got from my dad is that I am very diplomatic, and I am very good at communicating something really hard in a way that isn't, you know, like some people can express their truth and it can feel quite combative or quite aggressive or quite attackive. You know what I mean? It can feel like a bit of an attack. And I'm really good at, like, I don't know if my dad taught me or what, but I'm just actually, like, it's a skill. It is a skill. And it's something that I've learned. And it's probably a bit of part of who I am. It actually is, in human design terms, it's kind of there in my chart, I guess. And so, yeah, so I... Yeah, so I thought about, like, what do I want here? What is it that I'm trying to express? What's the outcome that I want? And what do I need from this situation? And so I wrote a long post to the teacher just explaining a bit about how I was feeling and how, like, this is not, you know, it's not an attack on the system, and it's not an attack on you teachers or the school, because I know that this is unprecedented shit we're dealing with here. And for me, I'm feeling like this isn't in the best interests of my child. And so my beautiful teachers are, like, if there's one thing that comes out of this pandemic, I hope that it's more respect for teachers, because they are just such wonderful fucking humans. And I'm getting teary and emotional just like thinking about it. Anyway, the teacher rang me up and had a chat, and she was like, look, you've got to do what's best for you and for Mabel, and I'm here to support you to do that. You know, like, so it's opened up, I don't know, it's just opened up a conversation that I was unwilling, but reserved and concerned about. And the outcome is that I get to choose. And you know what happens here, right? And I think this is what I want to point out, is like, this, a similar thing happened during my birth. You know, it was a 75-hour experience, and a lot of it was negotiating with the health system, because I really wanted to be an advocate for myself, and I hadn't spoken up about, you know, I hadn't spoken up in situations. That was something I really struggled with, was speaking up in situations where I felt someone had more authority than I did. And so that experience of me advocating for myself and making sure that I was the one making the decisions, not just accepting things for what they were, but really tuning into what my needs were and what I felt was best for me and my child, and then speaking up. And so, yeah, I guess that's just what I wanted to share today. Well, I guess there's two episodes in one, bonus for you guys. What was the first one about? Oh yeah, about language, and about, like, getting really clear on, like, what are some of these terms that we throw around and what do they fucking mean, you know? And how can we be more inclusive? How can we make things more accessible? Because you know what? Like, there are so many wonderful tools and in the spirituality basket and in human design and in woo, for want of a better, I don't even know what woo means, but like, there are so many wonderful things here that aren't being accessed because they're not accessible, because we're making them exclusive by some of the language that we use. So I guess that's just a reminder to think about that. Like, are you using language that is inclusive of people who are new to your community? Or are you just throwing around, you know, like the phrases that are already in your community, you know, not, anyway, you know what I'm saying there. And then secondly, like, really thinking about how you are showing up and speaking up. Are you expressing your needs? Are you expressing your truth? Are you clear on what you want, and are you able to communicate that? Because magic happens when we do, you know? And no one else is going to advocate for us. We have to be our own advocates in this lifetime. So yeah, that is it from me, coming to you live from 7 Mile Beach in Lennox Head, Australia, on this, like, it's funny. We've, you know, like, last week we were swimming in our pool, and then all of a sudden, overnight, it went from being 27, 28 every day, and the last couple of days have been 20, 21. That's degrees Celsius for you in the in North America. You know, so I don't even know what that is. It would be, what is that? Maybe low. I don't know. Actually, who am I kidding? Thinking I can fucking translate this to Fahrenheit? I can't. But you know what? Google can. So you could easily go into Google and type 20 degrees Celsius to Fahrenheit, and what do you know? The magic of the internet will give you the answers you seek. But yeah, so it's like turned really cold overnight, and it's actually quite lovely. Only that I had a sebaceous cyst like lanced on Friday. It's now Monday. And so I've got like an open wound on my back. It was very big. And all of my pants are high-waisted except of one pair of Mambo tracksuit pants from 1992 that Miko used to wear. So that's what I've been wearing. I look like a fucking bogan. That's kind of like a redneck, Americans. All right, that's it from me today. Until next time, next week, stay well, stay safe, show up, and speak up. Peace out.
Want more me in your life? Head to carlinimmo.com or find me on Instagram at carlosophies. But honestly, the best thing you can do is tell a friend about this podcast. Until next week, peace out.